Reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ. News, talk, sports. Let's start with the sports. Alinda mentioned this. Funny how times change. This isn't something I normally promote or make a big deal out of, but I have four tickets for the Brewers hosting the Diamondbacks Tuesday, May 6th. Now, I'll just be honest. These weekday tickets that we get with our Brewers package aren't usually, when I give them away, it's, if you can make it. I think that's changed. I think with the way the Brewers are playing, I know that just giving away Brewers tickets has become a much bigger deal. It's always been a pretty big deal. But right now, people really do want to win these because, the Brewers appear to be a pretty good team right now. They're still, I'll tell you what I think is one of the phoniest metrics out there is the power rankings in the different sports that ESPN and just about everybody does now, especially in football. A team wins and they go up 5 in the power ranking. Team loses and they go down 5 in the power. It's just stupid. How is that really measuring power? I think it is probably a little more accurate for Major League Baseball because they do it weekly, and then they do it weekly in football too, but you're only dealing with one game. I think you do get more of a trend measured. In the ESPN power rankings, the Brewers have been number one 2 weeks in a row now. And I think well-deserved. Now, they're playing more games than they did back in 1987, but they have their best April ever. And they have one more opportunity. They're 20-7 right now, right? They could end 21-7. If they were to win today and then go .500, I did the math, it would be 87 wins. Of course, we were saying that last April, and then May came. I just don't, assuming they get healthy, I don't envision that happening. Here's the other thing. I think it was Matt LePay pointed it out on the TV broadcast last night. This is kind of the teeth of their early schedule. They've played a lot of division opponents and have done well. They've got the Reds coming up. This was a crucial stretch here for them, and they're not getting a lot of rest. And it's a big, now they've got this, and then they've got the four game series. That's four games with the Reds, right? Coming up. Matt, that's what I thought. Matt sitting in for Jason today. It's just really exciting. We'll do that. I don't know when, but because they are Tuesdays, I really do need. These were just given to me the other day, and I didn't give them away yesterday. So we'll do something creative with them later in the show. Got a lot of stuff. I'm going to spend a lot of time on a topic that we really haven't discussed, and that is the Donald Sterling LA Clippers story. And I've got, quite frankly, I've just got a lot of different things to say about it. And I think they are things most other people aren't saying, which I usually try to do. And if you want to take a whack at it, we'll kind of let you do that after 9 o'clock. 10:06, Senator Johnson joins us. Now, he wants to talk about his lawsuit, the latest on it, and that's fine, against Obamacare. We'll do that. There was a bombshell story yesterday on Benghazi. I mean, this is a really big deal. But if a bombshell falls in the woods and the media doesn't cover it, did it make a sound? That's kind of what you got here, with the exception of Fox News. And we'll get to that as well. Just as I said, and we've got some leftovers from yesterday. Have to give away the Brewers tickets, a lot of stuff. I want to start with this one. Rich Lowry wrote a piece at National Review Online, and you talk about a perspective you don't get anywhere else. I think he stumbled upon something here that I haven't really considered, and I'm not sure if he's right or not. He has a thesis here. He has a theory, and I'm not sure I agree with it or not. This part everyone agrees on, that if Hillary Clinton runs, she's going to be favor, not only for the nomination for her party, but against pretty much anyone Republicans could put up, at least right now. That's always subject to change. But I concede she would be the favorite. As you know, I think the chances are less than 50% that she is going to run. What she has done in, and by the way, it is too early to announce whether she's running. It's not like she's put this off. But in the uncertainty of whether she's going to run, she has frozen out anyone else in the field with the possible exception of Joe Biden. And it is known in Democratic circles that he really wants to run, which I do find surprising. But he does. But others, including one who says she doesn't, that she isn't running, Elizabeth Warren, I think if Hillary doesn't, Senator Warren will run. And that's going to create issues for the Democratic Party because she is from the far left liberal wing of the party. But at this moment, no one else is doing that. No one else is like, well, look, I'm not going to do this knowing Hillary is there. Here's Lowry's thesis. If somebody would have the guts to do that, they would become instant celebrity. And they would be in a very enviable position. And that's, in fact, his words. Let me share some of this with you. I'm just not sure I agree with him or not, and I'll tell you why. But first, let me share his thesis with you. The dynamics of the Democratic 2016 race so far feel more like an incumbent president clearing the primary field of any potential spoilers prior to a re-election bid rather than a wide-open nominating contest. At this early juncture, the question is not so much who will be her opponent or opponents, but whether she'll even have any or even one. She certainly should. Any serious Democrat with some gumption and ambition would be a fool to pass up the race based on the forecast of a Clinton coronation. Running against Hillary in 16 is the greatest growth opportunity in the Democratic Party. Whoever runs against Hillary will, for at least some period of time, be the hottest thing in American politics. On the cover of Time, interviewed on all the Sunday shows, a figure of fascination whose every move is followed obsessively by every political outlet in the nation. All of this happens right out of the gate. It would be a massive barrage of free advertising in exchange for the act of showing up. What politician with national aspirations wouldn't want such a prominent platform? What he or she would do with it is anyone's guess. That would depend on the proficiency and message of the challenger's campaign. But history suggests that it would more likely than not get some traction. Even the mightiest frontrunners usually experience unexpected turbulence. Even Al Gore in 2000, a sitting VP who bulldozed his way to victory in every primary and caucus, had a difficult spell against his sole challenger, Bill Bradley. Even George W. Bush in 2000, anointed by the GOP establishment from the outset, got walloped by John McCain in New Hampshire. Even Mitt Romney in 2012, with every organizational fundraising advantage, barely beat Rick Santorum in the crucial Ohio primary. As much as politics abhors a vacuum, the media hate a stale political narrative. Watching Hillary Clinton march unopposed to the Democratic nomination would be a nightmare of tedium for journalists who thrive on conflict and drama. The rooting interest of the press will be for someone to run against Hillary and to make a real race of it. All right, let me stop there. This is where I'm not sure if he's right or wrong about that. And it is, for the most part, hard to argue with him. And by the way, he is right. And look, no conservative is going to say that the media doesn't root, rally, champion for a liberal. And the reality, though, is, as Lowry points out, they still like drama. They might want Hillary to win in the end, but they want it to be exciting. See, some people are that way. There are Brewers fans who love the idea that they beat the Cardinals in extra innings again last night. Me, I would have loved to have gone to bed when it was 14-0 in the eighth. That would have been fine with me. Although I'll admit, as long as you have to go through it, they're exciting. I didn't. I went to bed. Woke up again. It's like, dang, missed another one. What Lowry is arguing is the media would set aside their bias because, and by the way, he's right, this does happen, because they want to see a thrilling, they want something interesting. Following her around, the primary season would mean nothing, and it would be exclusively on the Republican side that there's going to be interest. But I'm not sure I agree with him that that person would become a rock star. Here's where they might, this time, set aside their desire for drama. They really think it's her turn this time. They really think it's her turn. And I think there's a possibility that anyone with the temerity to step up and challenge her might be, in fact, a pariah to the media. Lowry is assuming, and I'm not saying he's wrong, I'm saying I don't know. Lowry is assuming that their desire for drama in the primary, a la 2008, Obama, Clinton. Well, what happened there? Actually, now that I think of it, Lowry might be onto something. What happened there? They went with the underdog. It became very apparent very quickly that the media favored Barack Obama over Hillary Clinton, who had been their favorite until he showed up. Remember the skit on Saturday Night Live where the media is getting him a comfy pillow? It's about what it was like. What if a far lefty like Elizabeth Warren stepped up to the plate? What if somebody far to the left of Hillary does that? The media probably would coalesce around her. Lowry's probably right about that. What if it's someone that's at least as centrist as her, or more so? Then I think they would be seen as an interloper and pushed aside by the media. But they would, one way or the other, at least out of the gate, get attention. He's right about that. So will it happen? Here's what I think about Elizabeth Warren. I think she's waiting for Hillary not to run. I think if Hillary doesn't run, I think Elizabeth Warren is going to be the immediate front runner. I just don't know. Joe Biden really wants to do this. And it would be extremely rare for a sitting vice president not to have a relatively clear path to the nomination. It's going to be interesting to see. The other thing that's important to understand about what happens on the Democratic side is it really impacts what happens on the Republican side, for the reason that Lowry pointed out. If it's a drama-free Democratic primary, if it's just Hillary or some sacrificial lamb that doesn't even get on the ballot in a lot of the states, they're not going to care about that race, which means they will give outsized attention to the Republican primary, and they will try to stir the muck even more than they normally do because they're going to try to milk all the drama that they can out of it, even if the drama isn't really there. I know it's a ways away, but it's still it's interesting, I think, to speculate about. So as I've gone back and forth wishy-washy through this, I would say that Lowry is probably right that out of the gate, someone who is considered a real contender probably would get a lot of attention. Kind of Rocky versus Apollo Creed. You know, really would get the, hey, wow, someone's actually, and you would have to do it before she makes up her mind. You would have to steal her thunder. It'd be very, very interesting. Here's the other thing. It does seem that the left feels this is the year they have to have a female nominee. Which is why a lot of people think Elizabeth Warren will be dragged into this. The far left isn't all that fond of Hillary. I'm going to predict it again. I don't think she's going to be the nominee. I won't predict it, but I just don't feel she's going to be the nominee. I don't know what it is. And her age will play a role. Now, they're trying to give her cover on that because you should never talk about age when it's a woman, even though they did, as I pointed out previously, with McCain and Romney and Reagan. Then it was fair game. It was fair game. It is fair game. Elizabeth Warren is no spring chicken either. Neither is Joe Biden. So, I mean, there's, unless some of the other more youthful candidates that have been mentioned surface, that, I mean, in the primary, that's not really going to be a factor. I know I've raised more questions than answers here because the reality is there are more questions than answers. Coming up after 9, there are a lot of different angles on the Donald Sterling story. He's been banned from life, for life, banned for life from the NBA, but he still owns an NBA team. But he can't have anything to do with the NBA, and they are trying desperately to pressure him to sell his NBA team. And the punishment for selling his team was getting about $700 million for it. But there are some angles, I think, that are unnoticed here. Now, I know Rush Limbaugh played a portion of the Mark Cuban audio yesterday where the Dallas Mavericks owner said, hey, you know, this is still America. We still have a constitution. And he was immediately vilified. Cuban's not the most liked guy in the NBA himself. He's seen as kind of a wild card. That's interesting. But there's a part that's been talked about, but not enough. This was not an unknown entity. People in and around the NBA, and quite frankly, minorities around him, knew who and what he was. I want to get into all of that after 9 o'clock. Ron Johnson after 10 o'clock, and just whatever else we can get to. It's 8:57.